The song is Alicia Joy, Dropping Keys. It is the last single from her album, which comes out on Friday. Alicia Joy is from Nam, Melbourne, based in London. And I'm lucky enough to have her on the airwaves with me. Kia ora, Alicia. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm so excited to just unpack this album. I'm so excited for everybody to be able to hear it on Friday. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Well, good. So the album is called The Making of Silk. And from what I understand, there's kind of this overarching theme of trying to understand the meaning of love. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like trying to understand the meaning of love and redefining it, like taking it back from how it's just being co-opted in our capitalist, I don't know, misdirected society at times, I think. Yeah.
I loved reading about some of the kind of influences for this album. You talked about bell hooks. Could you chat to us a bit about those kind of influences?
Yeah, bell hooks has been a big one, like not only for this album, but just for my life. Like as a, I think everyone should read All About Love, this book by bell hooks. So much of this album has come from a lot of like work looking into therapy for myself, and like during lockdown, I actually spent 2 years like getting a diploma in psychotherapy.
Wow.
And that's become a big part of the poetry in the album. A lot of learning within that, you know, how to hold other people and how to hold myself, like, and so much learning there from lots of very wise human beings. But there's a lot of art that has influenced this as well, including like paintings and poets like Mary Oliver and her Fears, Kori Yusai paintings. There's a lot of references, which is really nice to share. It's like continuing the art in another form of art.
Beautiful. Interesting kind of talking about your ventures into psychotherapy. It does feel like a very kind of therapeutic body of work. Do you think you set out to do that and make that for other people, or is that really just your own kind of journey through making the album?
Yes, kind of just, I think at this point, it will be used in various ways, like that skill set, but I don't think I'll practice psychotherapy. I think art is a form of psychotherapy in itself. Like it's a form of therapy for me, but then it's also, I get so much therapy out of listening to music myself too. So I think it's just, it will manifest in that way.
Beautiful. The album, I feel it feels so rich, both sonically and lyrically, and hearing about your kind of intentions with the meaning of the album and the journey that it takes, you really do get a grasp of your poetry through all of this. Do those two elements of the sonic textures, you know, we have all the beautiful strings and everything throughout the album, the sonic and lyrical layers and textures, do those two things come hand in hand for you, and have they always?
Yeah, I'm a really big, advocate for like the process and every aspect of the music trying to meet the lyrics or the poetry or the intention within the song. So like, I think in any way that I can, sort of embodying the message in the music is sort of how I like to move. So I really wanted the album to feel as vulnerable as the message. So a lot of these songs are live takes. They're me playing piano, like playing a Fender Rhodes and singing at the same time, because I figure that's how you can get the audience, maybe even just subconsciously, to feel the vulnerability in the music. And then the strings are like so luscious, and that's the feeling of love, I guess, embodied in music, like just that real, like a bed of uplifting something, I don't know, like just deliciousness. Like
it is deliciousness. It's true. I was gonna say, it's so interesting you mentioned doing live takes, because I was gonna say I was lucky enough to see your live show in Tamaki Makaurau earlier this year, and I was thinking about when I was listening to the record how you go about translating that beautiful intimacy of you playing in a live setting while still bringing in those layers of lush kind of swells and textures. Do you have, I mean, I'd say by listening to that, you've found a really good balance, but has that been a journey of finding that balance between those two things?
Yeah, like such a long journey. And I guess the thing with music is it always takes longer than what maybe the listeners perceive, or like what you even perceive as the artist. Like, it's been a really long journey. This is my third album as a solo artist, and then I've also been working heaps with 3070, which is a collective from back home. And just, it's just taken me that long to sort of strip everything back, I think, to understand what is at the core of the music and my process and my sound. And now I've just, like, I think I've found a way to sort of translate the message in a live context, which is really beautiful. But it's always evolving and it's always changing, and I'm always working with different musicians, and I really try to, you know, respond to the moment as well. And it was cool when I was out there with you guys. I had some local musicians playing with me, so
yeah, that's Chip Matthews and Adam Tobeck, those guys are great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about 3070 as well, and how amazing it is to see your range as a creative, because 3070 is much more leaning into that kind of electronica, acid jazz kind of vibe. Was that something that kind of came with that project for you, or, I mean, have you got a background in both jazz and electronica, or how did those two kind of come together for you?
I just have a background in feeling a lot.
I love that.
I'm not a technically trained musician. I never went to jazz school or anything like the others in 3070 did. But I'm just a bit of a music nerd and a music lover, and I just love lots of different genres and want to explore just different ways to articulate what I'm feeling, and different sounds. So, yeah, 3070 leans a lot harder into kind of the crossover into electronic music. And our last album as well is something that I was, like, very deeply involved in the production on. So it's just, like, I'm just a big nerd.
I love that.
I just love learning.
Yeah, how cool. This album is entirely self-produced, which you were just saying before to me is not a new thing for you. So Torn Tonic, your last album, was you also produced that, right?
Yeah. Very different sounds. Like, Torn Tonic was really more about alternative R&B, and it was kind of like a for me, Torn Tonic is, the message in that music is all about, like, trying to articulate my feeling in my body as somebody that's socialized in this world as a woman. And so I was kind of, like, trying to think about how music would sound if all music was produced by non-males, like, how different the production might be, because it's only 5% of music is produced by non-males, which... it's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a little act of defiance now for me. I just want to produce all the music that I make, and every part of my sound. So these two albums are very, very different. This is, like, you know, soul, luscious strings, but both self-produced.
Beautiful. I feel like, as well, I mean, for such a personal record, telling so many of your own kind of vulnerable stories, for it to be completely self-produced and to have no features is, like, potentially just the most honest form of yourself in it, eh?
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Beautiful. You're currently based in London, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that journey been like coming out of now Melbourne, and now being in London. I mean, both with extraordinary jazz, soul, R&B scenes.
Yeah.
But very different, I imagine, as well.
Yeah, so different. And I think, you know, even just being here, living here, I spend about 6 months of the year in the UK, and that's sort of when I get to my limit, because I just miss nature back home. I miss the sort of way more calm ways of moving within my own body and with people around me too. Like, it's just it's a really busy city, but it also cultivates like such incredible music and such a wild music scene, and it's been really beautiful to be able to tap into what's going on in Germany and Paris, and spent a bit of time in Italy too. You know, you're just like so much more easily able to travel through Europe and even America more recently for me to share music there. So it's a blessing in that sense, but I do miss home, like just the calm nature aspect of it all. But I'm very, very grateful to be dipping in and out. I think that's the way for me. Yeah.
That's very cool. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are selfishly a little bit excited to hear that you'll be back in the Southern Hemisphere shortly. Hopefully back over to Aotearoa soon.
I hope so. I was only in and out.
Yeah, that was a quick visit, but it'd be cool to see more of you here.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Thank you so much for chatting with me. We're going to finish on a song, but I do want to talk a little bit about this song first. Yeah. You know, when we talk about the record being about finding and understanding that meaning of love and redefining it for yourself, where does a song like David fit in all of this?
David, for me, is like one of maybe the most significant song on the album. I think just in the way that it's completely embodying the message of redefining love. And this song is about uncovering for myself that I'd had all these experiences of what was called love, in quotation marks, but was actually really not at all love. And this song is about... yeah, it's about multiple experiences of abuse and throughout relationships, like just never feeling like this was a caring, spiritually engaging, growing space. But beyond that, yeah, this was like an experience of abuse. And that's obviously a heavy thing to place into an album, but... again, I think it's something that, you know, many non-males experience in their life, and I think it's really important to talk about. So this is about, you know, speaking up if you're experiencing a situation like this, and really understanding that that's not love. That is not what love is. Love is nurturing. So... yeah, this is sort of my deep, I don't know, it's like my own little mantra for myself and a really personal song. So yeah, this is David.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, and thank you for chatting today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Don't need much.
This is Alicia Joy with David. This is a single off of her new record, The Making of Silk, which is out this Friday, the 13th. It is a really, really stunning, vulnerable, and moving record, so I advise you to seek it out on Friday. Thank you so much to Alicia for chatting with us today. It was just a lovely time having a corridor with her. Here on BFM, we're going to jump to some ads. 20 minutes left on the show. Bit of music. It'll be fun. Stick around.